Welcome into the Line Up Logic podcast. I am your host, Jan Mahimi. I'm kidding. This is Sean. Welcome back, guys. Man, Jan Mahimi night. What a night. This is, of course, the NBA DFS podcast bringing you lineup construction ideas for the slate to come on FanDuel. And I am not Jan Mahimi, but I am Sean Cain. And it is Wednesday, March 8th here. We have a real nice slate coming up tonight. 11-game slate up here coming up on a Wednesday night. Kind of ridiculous. We're kind of swinging from end to end. 12 games Monday, 3 games Tuesday, 11 games Wednesday, and then Thursday I think is like 4 or 5 games if I remember correctly. I could be wrong. But in the next hour, we'll preview the night to come in the NBA. We'll talk spreads, we'll talk injuries, and then we will break down the players to target on the slate upcoming. Before we do that, however, let's go ahead and recap the previous day's lineup. One of these nights. Okay, so, man, what a night. What a night. Really, really pretty awesome night for all the Lineup Logic listeners out there. First of all, as you guys, a lot of you responded to this yesterday. I really appreciate this. As many of you guys acknowledge, like, I said this yesterday early in the pod, like, I'm an independent outlet. I'm an independent analyst. I'm not working for any big outlet or anything like that. I'm not getting paid. I'm trying to launch this project on my own. So the best way that you can help me if you enjoy the pod is, you know, show your results, share your results, review the podcast on iTunes, retweet, all that kind of stuff. You know, the three R's, rate, review, retweet, results, all those R's, please do that. And it helps me a lot, man. It helps listenership a lot. So I appreciate that. And so everybody's taking the time to tweet their results to me and saying thank you and all that good stuff. I am very, very grateful for that, of course. Now, last night, like I said, really, really great night. Really great night for us. Wish I had kind of stuck to my guns. I diversified a little bit, but we were on Westy, we were on Wall, we were on Beal, we were on Wes Matthews. It was okay. He wasn't great, but Seth Curry was also very good. They produced exactly where we thought they would. You know, the Currys and the Matthews of the world. 20-something, not north of 30. Boyan crushed, went 10x, absolutely blew up, had 29 points and 9 rebounds. Half of those points were from the free throw line. We're going to talk about that. Markieff was a huge bust, huge bust. Luckily, we were on Dirk. I think the problem with Markieff is honestly the combination of Mahimi, John Wall, and Bradley Beal getting all the looks that they wanted. Between Porter and Morris, they really didn't have to do anything at all. And then Boyan comes in the second unit, and he plays down the stretch in the fourth quarter. The scoring just doesn't have to go through Markieff and Porter. We're going to see kind of a change in structure for the Wizards. I think we're going to have to account for that and kind of take a wait-and-see approach for Markieff, Morris, and Otto Porter going forward. I think it's business as usual with Bradley Beal and John Wall, but it's going to be different for the rest of that front court, you know? And so, hey, I'm sorry. I was wrong about Markieff. I thought for sure that he would have a game, and Boyan took a lot of that usage, and as did Mahimi. And then, of course, Mahimi goes for 42. I think I can't. I was expecting 20, 22 minutes, maybe 10 points, 8 rebounds. I was expecting 20 minutes, 20 points. That's what I was expecting. And I thought, you know what? That's good enough. I'll lock that in because on this slate, I want value somewhere that I feel like is relatively secure. craziness that he went for 42 total. Kind of an outlier, honestly. You know, hey, sometimes you get lucky. But there are things to learn from this lineup. So let's talk about that. Okay, one is there is advantages in a low-owned player with above average value. Okay, and that's what we had in Mahimi. We had it in Boyan too. He was owned at 17%, at least where I was. So, you know, Mahimi's advantage was the fact that he was very low owned, and we know that you get the ownership advantage. That's great, fine. But his value relative to his position, you know, for him to exceed value as it compared to the rest of the centers, as far as going, you know, how many went 5x, how many went 4x, 3x, whatever the case may be, that's where you really get the advantage. The cost per dollar, you know, relative to the rest of the position. And I think it's interesting to think about this at center specifically. If you can target a low-owned center, then you are going to really have a distinct advantage over the field, because as soon as he outscores or outpaces one of those other centers, you've automatically climbed ahead of all of the other people in the pool, regardless of what center they're on, right? And especially if you can get him to go for, you know, a higher multiple of 5 or 6 or 7x, then you're in a situation where you're really maximizing value. It's something to think about with center. You know, it in a lot of my best lineups over the years, I've really been able to maximize how much value you get out of the center position. And it's one of the distinct advantages about FanDuel, because there's only one position there. So if you make the right choice in the center position, then, you know, and you maximize value there going 6, 7x, then you really have an advantage on the field. So anyway, real differentiator there. Boyan, I think the thing about Boyan that we have to consider, and I made a note about this, was free throw attempts. He had almost 15 free throw attempts in that game. Now, I know free throw attempts aren't predictable, but free throw attempts are easy, easy, easy points. They're free fantasy points. And how do we know that, you know, the free throws are there for Boyan in this situation? Well, we don't. You know, it's situational. But the truth of the matter is you can look at stuff like team fouls, okay? You know, the personal fouls per game, Phoenix is the most, has the most in the league. They average 29 personal fouls, 24 in the season, 29 personal fouls in the last three games. That means they're sending teams to the line constantly, okay? You know, versus a team like Charlotte and Chicago, who are at the top. I'm looking at team rankings right now. Charlotte and Chicago, who are at the top, they're almost half that. They're at 17 fouls per game. So, I mean, all of a sudden, if you're talking about a very undisciplined team, you know, giving up tons and tons of free throws in Phoenix, then you're kind of maximizing some of your value, especially for your offensively minded players. And Boyan is exactly that. And he got half of his value from the free throw line. So something to keep in mind. Other teams that are really bad about giving up fouls, Memphis. Strangely enough, we think they're a very solid defensive team, but it probably comes down to the fact that a lot of those guys, you know, would rather take the foul and give up their 3-4 fouls and slow down the pace rather than give up a bucket. Makes sense. Portland, Philly, and the Wizards, interestingly enough, as well as Brooklyn. Okay, and Toronto tied with Brooklyn. Sorry, I may as well mention that. Toronto tied with Brooklyn as well, all at 20-plus fouls per game, whereas, you know, the top five are under 20. You know, high discipline, low teams that don't allow a lot of points per game. Strangely enough, Chicago being one of those teams, as bad as they are on the offensive end, they're very solid in points per game, and they only allow 17 free throws per game. So something to consider, as well as Atlanta, Cleveland, disciplined teams that try not to give up free buckets at the free throw line. So something to think about, you know, not always a predictor, but it's one of those statistics that kind of, it's a kind of tiebreaker type statistic, right? It's like, Should I start this guy against the Suns or this guy against the Hornets? Well, Suns give up more fouls, so let's take a chance on the guy versus the Suns. You know what I mean? It's those kinds of little things that you kind of help you make decisions, and there's always something there in NBA DFS, so you can always pay attention. The last note about Mahimi, I got to say this. This is one of those like small slate unicorns, right? It's like Juancho Hernan Gomez a couple weeks ago when he went for 40 against the Warriors. It's a unicorn, man. You are not going to find a Mahimi every single night unless you are casting a very, very, very wide net. Now, the beauty of what we said about a small slate construction, and this is why small slates are viable, you have the opportunity to investigate all viable possibilities. On a large slate like this, I honestly, guys, as much as I would want to, I can't look into 22 different starting centers and figure out exactly how good their matchup is and what their minutes are and what they're trending up or trending down. 22 different centers, individual research, you know, maybe 20, you're talking about 30 plus viable, you know, starters in the power forwards, shooting guard, et cetera. Like, the research just isn't viable. Small slates, it's the exact opposite. We had 6 to 8 viable centers that we could choose from. You can investigate all of them and look at how your lineup construction falls with all of them. And that's why small slates are really viable, because if you make the right choice, then you are in it. You are in it to win it. If you make the wrong choice, you're out. But if you're in it, if you make the right choices, you're locked into cash, because there's going to be other people who made the wrong choices. And it's, like I said, it's a multiple choice test. And a small slate, it's a multiple choice test. And if you make the right choice, then you're in. So something to think about. So let's not waste any time, though. We're always trying to learn lessons. Before we go too far from the lessons learned, let's stop. Let's celebrate a couple of these. Let's celebrate a couple of these W's here for people. You know, shout out to KL Dog, Gene, Tyler Wright. Good to see you guys cashing. Brian, new listener to the show. Welcome aboard, Brian. So glad to have you. Thanks for the feedback as well. Colin, listening always. Good job, Colin. Really crushed in some GPPs there. Colin turned some good money. Of course, Tim Wing. Well done, sir. Got you in there. King's Guard. Nathan, well done, man. Welcome aboard. Glad to have you. Matt, that was huge. So if you guys missed this, it's on my feed. Matt, one of the listeners, he made well over $200, and he got a seat in the Hangtime tournament. As well as a seat in the Jumbo Slam in a bunch of qualifiers. So, hey, Matt, we're going to get you through there, brother. We're going to keep this rolling here. You know, some cash on DK from Chris and Jacob. Well done, guys. And my boy Jeff, lifelong listener, rock solid. Hey, and Juan DeMarco, man. Hey, brother, huge return, dude. Over $600. Really, really happy for you, man. Absolutely. And, you know, a couple guys we just missed. I'm sorry. I apologize. But we got, you know, we got some really, really, really solid results from all the listeners. And, hey, I really do appreciate you guys tweeting results at me. It really helps the pod a lot, and listenership is up because of you guys saying, hey, Sean, thank you for your advice. And, you know, it's just a freaking great community. Josh and I feel really lucky to have you guys as such loyal listeners. So very appreciative. All right, let's not waste any more time. Let's talk through the games tonight. Like I said, big Wednesday slate. Wednesday's that TV slate, that ESPN slate. We know that. First game of the night, Chicago at Orlando, 203 total in this one. Chicago only favored by one. Going to be a slower game. But we did just get the news that Vucevic is out, so we're going to have Biombo again. Biombo is going to start again, so get ready for Biombo over 40-45%. No question. I think some people will start to say, okay, Biombo is kind of a novelty. He's priced up off min price, so maybe I won't play him. But, I mean, he's still a freaking good value. Question we're waiting on is whether or not we're going to get Dwayne Wade and whether or not we're going to get Rondo. If Wade doesn't play, then Jimmy becomes a really serious option. If Rondo doesn't play, then Campaign becomes a really serious option. All things to consider. But kind of an ugly game, not a very high total compared to, you know, we've got 220s all over the board. For example, Brooklyn at Atlanta, 221 total here. Atlanta favored by 9 at home. No serious injury news except for on the Brooklyn side of the ball. No Joe Harris, which is giving a lot of more minutes to Sean Kilpatrick, which I don't understand why they haven't been giving minutes to Sean Kilpatrick all year. But hey, they may be giving more minutes to Kilpatrick tonight. Charlotte at Miami, 205 total here. Miami favored by 4. Waiting on a lot of injury news from Miami that could change things for us here. Tyler Johnson and James Johnson being the primary two that we're worried about. They may be out again. If they're out, then I think we really have to consider some Dion Waiters, who's going to have a massive minutes and offensive usage. He's going to need to do some scoring for them. On the Charlotte side of the ball, Frank the Tank out for the season. Real bummer, man. Frank, we'll pour one out for you, brother. You won us some money this year. We really appreciate it. But that means Cody Zeller sliding into the lineup and getting a full 25 to 30 minute workload against Hassan Whiteside. Not bad, not bad. New York at Milwaukee, 211 total here. Milwaukee favored by 6. We're going to keep an eye on Melo, make sure he's coming back after that rest night or the knee or whatever it was. Basically, old man rest. If he's playing, then I think this is a nice competitive game to target. If he doesn't play, I may reconsider, but if he's playing, then, you know, we could fire up some Giannis for sure, who's had success against the Knicks this year. Toronto at New Orleans, 204 total here. New Orleans favored by 2. You know, I don't know what to do with this game, to be completely honest with you. You know, Davis, DeRozan, and Boogie are all kind of priced fairly. Drew Holiday's priced interestingly. Corey Joseph is interesting. I think this is an interesting game to target low ownership for sure, just because it's kind of low total and not that sexy. But, like, we'll talk about some of the plays from that game for sure. Utah at Houston. This one's a nice one. 214 total here. Houston favored by 6 at home. We're waiting on news about the Jazz here. We're going to wait to see if George Hill plays with that toe injury. Derek Favors has already been ruled out. You know, and James Johnson as well, looking at, Joe Johnson. I'm mixing up my Johnsons between the Heat and the Jazz. Anyway, he had the groin, so we're going to keep an eye on this. There could be some value in this game, but also just some really nice matchups for the Jazz side of the ball. Clippers at Wolves, 210 total here. Clippers favored by 3. This one should be competitive. Wolves haven't played in like 4 days. Look for a well-rested Timberwolves team. At home, it should be really nice opportunity for them. No real injuries that we need to worry about in that one. Should be an interesting basketball game. Detroit at Indiana, 206 total here. Indiana favored by 4 at home. Another game that will go low owned, but some decent opportunities to capitalize here. No serious injuries. Interestingly enough, I don't mind KCP. I don't mind Jeff Teague in this one. Marcus Morris also in play. He has a nice matchup history with the Pacers, so something to think about, as does Andre Drummond. Sacramento at San Antonio, 199 total in this one. San Antonio favored by 14. The only way this game becomes really interesting if Pop does Pop things and he rests people. Then we have some interesting opportunity. If he gets Kawhi some rest or LaMarcus some rest or whatever the case may be, then I am absolutely going to start to look at the Spurs bench and, you know, there's absolutely opportunity there to capitalize on the Spurs bench. So Washington at Denver, this one is a huge total, 228 total. Denver only favored by 2 at home. You gotta like this game, but it's hard to figure out what to do with it because Jokic is a game time decision, and Washington is on a road back to back going to altitude. Okay, this is like literally a worst case scenario for them. Road back to back, going to altitude in Denver. They all played starters full 35 plus minutes last night. I'm not really sure how to attack Washington, even though I want Washington shares. Makes me a little bit nervous. You know, you'd obviously, if this was, you know, in Washington, we would fire up Bradley Beal, we would fire up John Wall, we would fire up everybody. But it worries me that these guys are just going to slightly underperform, kind of in a letdown after they went the distance with Phoenix last night. But God, you can't ignore that total. You can't ignore that pace. Oof, hard. Last game of the night here, Boston at Golden State, 222 total in this one. Golden State favored by 8, finally back home after the road trip. Boston kind of reeling on the road lately, losing that game to the Clippers, losing that game to the Suns, struggling. And we're going to keep an eye on the Al Horford news to see if he is going to play or not. No Horford is definitely going to open up some minutes for guys like, Jaylen Brown, maybe, you know, some offensive usage for those kinds of guys. They play a little bit of a different lineup there, but we'll see about the elbow and Al Horford. No serious injuries beyond KD on the Golden State side. Interesting to see how Golden State will respond to being back home after the long road trip. We'll talk a little bit about that during the player breakdown. All right, so juiciest games of the night, let's talk about them. Boston-Golden State, late hammer game, you're going to want shares of that. Washington-Denver, huge total, but what do you do with the Wizards on road back-to-back going to Denver? And then the other high total, Utah at Houston, really like that game quite a bit. And New York-Milwaukee, that one's going to be a low defense, high offense affair, as well as Brooklyn-Atlanta. Brooklyn-Atlanta, Atlanta at home here, getting a, you know, one of the biggest paces and worst defenses here, so you can stack up your Hawks if you want. No reason to fade the Hawks in this matchup. Just no reason. They need a W and they'll go get it. So, some good games to think about, some games that you just kind of want to ignore. And then we're going to watch the news. We're going to figure out what kind of news we get here. Hopefully we get some good news about some guys sitting or resting or whatever the case may be, so we can open up some value. All right, with that, let's go ahead and move on into the player breakdown and figure out which players we love. Who do you love? Okay, lock and load segment here. We are going to sort through the studs and figure out where you want to spend your money. Of course, we're always considering relative positional value. How much are you going to be able to squeeze out as far as, you know, 4 or 5x, given this guy's price. So let's take a look here at point guard. At point guard, it's interesting. Point guard is once again one of those loaded point guard slates. But let's start with Steph. He's 10-4. He's got Boston at home. You know, Steph has been cold lately. No question about it. We've been a little bit, you know, hesitant. I recommended him on the pod on Monday against Atlanta. He didn't do much in the first half, bounced back in the second half, ended up with 40 fantasy points, but that was only 4x in this situation. So, you know, not great. But, you know, I think that there's a lot to like here. He's got a 1-5, 115 implied team total. He's a late hammer. He's the highest total of the night. He's got plus pace. He's got plus DVP, and he's finally back home. You know, as far as matchups go, I think Avery Bradley will have to guard Klay Thompson, which means that Steph is going to see Isaiah Thomas in the starting rotation. And the Celtics just are struggling right now. They're giving up a lot of points on this West Coast road trip, you know, and Steph has averaged 42 points at home. He's averaged 42 coming off of a day at rest. Last time out against the Celtics, he only had 39 fantasy points. Okay, but I looked into that. He shot 20% from behind the arc, 2 of 10 from the three-point range. The shooting slump is a concern, obviously. We know that he's struggled in a couple of these road trip games, but looking at this, he on the road only averages 32% from behind the arc, which is pretty below average. At home, 46.8% from deep. Let that sink in. Dude almost shoots 50% in Oracle. That's crazy. So let's say those stats, we apply the same usage, the same stats, the same minutes from that Boston game, but we give him 3 more three-pointers. He averages 40. He gets to 48. in that contest. You know, the concern is price relative to the other studs on the slate. He could just as easily go 4X here. And, you know, I think, unfortunately, we've got a lot of studs in this situation, or excuse me, a lot of studs on this slate who could very easily max out at 4X. And it's really, really kind of imperative for you to figure out where you're going to get the most value out of your studs. So we're gonna look at it. We'll consider Steph for sure. But there is a lot of nice pivots at the top of the point guard slate as well. I mean, John Wall, obviously in play against Denver. I don't like him on a road back-to-back. He's only averaged 40 in a road back-to-back this year. And again, at altitude. But he's got one of the best matchups on the night. You know, relative to what you're getting in Wall versus Steph, I may as well take Steph. He's at home, he's rested, and he's got Isaiah Thomas defense. So, you know, in just as high a total and just as high as pace, it feels like there's more possible upside there. John Wall's only averaged 40 in road back-to-backs. I don't mind Isaiah Thomas in a pace-up game here, and I don't mind Chris Paul at all at 9K, price down. He's on the road, but he's going to have Ricky Rubio defense, and he should be able to do some good work against Ricky Rubio in this situation. So those are some pivots. They're available, but I think Steph, given the fact that he's at home and he has this matchup, is probably our best investment, but I don't know. We're going to check out the other studs as well. At shooting guard, it's Giannis at 10-8. Obviously, we know we have Harden up at the top of the slate here, and I don't, you know, hey, James Harden is never a bad decision. You know, you never feel bad about rostering James Harden. At 11-6, it's not a bad choice. Is he going to get you over 55 in this matchup? I'm not sure. Again, he's another guy that could very easily go 4X, and you could just kind of go, ugh. But Giannis here at 10-8 is in a good situation. Don't mind Giannis at all in this spot. He's going to be at home where we like him. He's going to get a 108 implied total, neutral pace. The Knicks are allowing 22nd most fantasy points in the league. They have weaknesses on the wing at 2 and at the 3 and at the center, but they're actually halfway decent against power forward because Kristaps is a halfway decent defender. He's a +2 defensive real plus minus. He blocks shots. Giannis has already exploited the matchup, though, this year. He went for 49 against the, he's averaged 49 against the Knicks. One time he had 44, and I think the other one was 52, so somewhere in there, if I remember correctly. But he's averaged 49 in two contests against the Knicks. He's shown a 40-point floor lately. He doesn't really have that 55-point ceiling that this price is asking of him, and the one that we really like. With the emergence of Middleton, I just don't know how much scoring he has to do, especially if Middleton is getting a plus matchup and he's coming off of some rest. Giannis could also go for 4X here, 45 points, and just kind of be like, hey, we win. Good job. You know, I like him a lot, but his profile's very similar to Steph Curry here. Great, great matchup, great situation, not a great price. And, you know, just kind of floating in the 40s lately, which is frustrating. I think if you play him, you stack him with Middleton. They have one of the nicest correlations on the slate. But I think you can pivot up to Harden. I mean, seeing the Jazz is not great, but they are at home. And the Jazz are probably, we're thinking, going to be without George Hill, without Derek Favors. They're going to be shorthanded. They're going to be stretched out. You can't underestimate how much a lack of Favors on the second unit and a lack of Hill out top affects their team defense. It really does. You know, I think Harden gets the traditional Jazz ownership drop as well. So Harden is not in a bad position at 11-6. Okay, 58 points. It's kind of a high number for him. And against the Jazz, he's seen numbers of 42 and 53 this year against them. So, okay, maybe. But again, another 4X type situation. At small forward, Jimmy at 9-2. I mean, this is just masochistic of me. I keep coming back to Jimmy, and I don't know why. But, I mean, you talk about a guy who keeps going 4X and absolutely crushing your heart. But, you know, a matchup with the Magic might be exactly what he needs. Dwayne Wade is doubtful. He's got the thigh contusion. Magic are allowing 19th most fantasy points in the league. He's averaged 41 against the Magic this year. We know he'll get that massive usage bump if Dwayne Wade is out of the lineup. But I think what intrigues me is the defensive matchup here. Okay, previously in these matchups, Aaron Gordon would guard him. He was at the 3. They had Serge at the 4 and Vooch at the 5. Okay, well, we know Vooch is out, so it's going to be Biombo protecting the rim. It's going to be Gordon at the 4, Terrence Ross at the 3, Fournier at the 2, and then Elf at the 1. Well, it's got to be Fournier or Ross to guard him, really. I mean, because you can't just leave Bobby Portis at 6'10 without any defense on him. So I'm guessing, because Terrence Ross can't guard Bobby Portis is my point. So I'm guessing it's going to be a combination of Ross and Fournier. And I mean, that doesn't scare me at all. Jimmy Butler playing as Terrence Ross? That doesn't really worry me. So the concern is the slump, man. The offense for the Bulls is just so damn inefficient. 40 points seems very reasonable from Jimmy in this situation. And if you compare that to the other studs in the slate, right, if you compare a 40-point outcome to Steph or Giannis, it seems like, oh, interesting, that's a better value then. You know, we're going to get more points per dollar from Jimmy Butler here. Yeah, but you're probably not going to get much of that 55-point ceiling where we know that Giannis and Steph, given matchups and the fact that they're at home and the fact that they are in pace-up high-total games, they have a much more likely, they're much more likely to go for over 50 given the situation. Jimmy just hasn't done that in a while. You know, it's just not really in the cards for him lately. So I don't mind him. I think it's a GPP play, though. Jimmy Butler should be low-owned just because he's been burning people lately. At power forward, it's Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis at 11-5 is in an interesting spot. He's got Toronto at home, 102-point total. Not a great DVP matchup. Toronto has kind of been a little bit more stout in the front court. But if you do attack Toronto anywhere as of late, you know, I think it's in the front court. Although you can attack them at the point guard these days as well. I mean, we have to consider the fact that AD hasn't really seen a production dip since the arrival of Bookie after the All-Star break, right? We've had about five games that they've played since the All-Star break, and he's gone for over 50 in 3 of those games. Let me just confirm that real quick. Let me double check. They've played more than 5 games, pardon me. They've played 7 games since the All-Star break, and he has gone for more than 50 in 1, 2, 3, 4 of those 7 games, okay? Struggling only against Utah, San Antonio, and Houston. In that Houston game, he went for 46, and Boogie went for more. So, I mean, Anthony Davis is still the focal point of the New Orleans offense. He's still one of the best scorers that they have. The minutes are there. The usage is there. I think it's interesting to consider Anthony Davis on this slate. I don't think he's going to be that highly owned. He's already played the Raptors this year. He went for over 50. And I think it's a matchup issue for the Raptors, to be completely honest with you. Valanciunas can't guard anyone. So I think Valanciunas will probably stick to Boogie because I guess, I don't know, it's more of a size situation. But then again, you could easily see Serge slide over to Boogie to try and guard Boogie because they're just a little bit more of a physical match just as far as stature. So maybe Serge guards Boogie and then Valanciunas guards Davis. But, you know, there's not a lot of help defense in that situation. PJ Tucker out there probably is their help. And PJ Tucker helps. To be clear, he's a dog. Like, he can guard, I mean, shit, PJ Tucker can guard Karl Anthony Towns. I'll never forget that situation. It makes me interested, though, in Boogie and AD in this situation. It could be a good moment for one of them. You know, I don't think it's unreasonable to consider they both go over 45. And, you know, positional scarcity, power forward's not great tonight. Maybe you go down to Anthony Davis and you just kind of say, hey, I'm going to take over 50 and maybe 10% ownership. I don't mind it. I'm going to think about it for sure. At Boogie at 9-5 is just too cheap at the top of the center slate. Obviously, we have Cat here in what should be a pretty solid matchup as well against the Clippers. You know, competitive game at home. Tons of rest for Cat. I like Cat as a pivot. DeAndre Jordan is a very solid defensive center, but they are allowing 48 points to the position, and Cat just is an animal, and he's better at home. So, you know, the Clippers, as far as DVP, they're not even necessarily that much better than Denver or Phoenix against the center. Let that sink in. It's nothing to be scared of. We look at DeAndre, and we know he's a great individual defender, but as a team defense, the Clippers just are kind of meh. Denver and Phoenix giving up the same amount of points. Now, part of that is because Denver and Phoenix are in a super high pace, too. So, you know, Karl Anthony Towns absolutely in play for GPPs, no question. but Boogie is just too cheap. At 9-5, getting Toronto at home, I mean, this dude has 60-point upside. This is Boogie Cousins. This isn't freaking, you know, Andre Drummond or Hassan Whiteside. This is Boogie Cousins. He has a 30% usage rate still on the New Orleans Pelicans. He has 45 FanDuel points in two of his last three contests. I don't love the matchup. It's not perfect because it's paced down. You know, the combination of Tucker and Serge, who are very solidly defensively, it can be a real grind, but I could see 45 points here, no problem. I think it's a GPP type choice that you have no problem making. It's Boogie Cousins, man. At 9-5, Boogie Cousins getting over 45 points. Good gracious. The whole slate would be playing him if he was still in Sacramento. So something to consider, you know, a good pivot away from some of the more obvious value plays at center tonight. There's a ton of value, at center. So, you know, something to consider. How do you differentiate yourself? Fantasy Grout. Let's go into the mid tier here. Mid priced guys priced in the 5 to 8K range, 5.5 to 8.5, more or less is where we're looking. Two guys at point guard that I like, plus a couple pivots. It's pretty loaded up here, point guard in the middle tier. Good night for point guards, to be honest with you. Schroeder at 6.9, Teague at 7.2. Those are my two. Okay, priced really reasonably for matchup and production as of late. Really nice cash game plays. Okay, 1-14 implied total for the Hawks, +5 in pace differential. Brooklyn's 30th in DVP to the point guard. I don't have to tell you to start point guards against Brooklyn, but some people try and get cute. And they fade it, and they fade Mike Conley against Brooklyn, and he goes for 44, and he goes for 6X. Don't do it. What's the point? What's the point? You know you're going to get production out of Schroeder. You know he likes to take the ball. He's kind of a ball hog. He's a usage hog. He's at home. He's coming off a rest. He's priced below 7K. He's averaged 38 against the team, against the Nets this year. There's no reason to fade point guards against Brooklyn. Don't do it. Just lock it in. It's cash. Just be safe. It's fine. Do it. Dennis Schroeder, you may not like his hair, but you got to like his matchup. Teague, though, is also interesting to me. I know I talk about Jeff Teague a lot. Jeff Teague just is like a great cash game option. He's got a really solid floor, and in good matchups, he does a lot. You know, and the Pacers aren't good enough that Teague gets taken out of games, for example, right? Like, he's not going to lose minutes because they're winning this game by so much. He's at home. They're implied for 105 total. They're seeing Detroit. The only place you can really attack Detroit is at the point guard position. That's their lowest DVP ranking in the entire on the entire floor. They're very solid in the front court because of Drummond and Tobias Harris. Reggie Jackson, not a great defender. By far their weakest spot. He's averaged 34 points against them in three contests this year. He's priced really well for a guy with a 40-point ceiling. He's better at home, and he's flashed basically a 30-point floor in the last couple games. I mean, you kind of have to love a 30-point floor, low ownership at home in a cash game. You know, I mean, minutes hasn't dipped below 29 minutes in the last couple contests. He has had, you know, let's look at the last five, 29, 39, 27, 31, 30. At 7-2, okay, you kind of take the situation of matchup history, you know, and those were all on the road. His, you know, he's a solid cash game play. He's always in play. And like I said, some really nice games against Indiana this year already. Good matchup history against Detroit this year. His most recent one in February was 31. He's in play. He's in play. Now there's a couple pivots here as well. You know, Teague is the play that if he falls to you while you're building lineups and you're kind of almost done and you're like, Jeff Teague at 7-2, you say, okay, I can take Jeff Teague at 7-2. I'm okay with that. Guarantees own below 15% tonight too. Like, just people don't play Jeff Teague unless he's on a small slate. The pivot here is Jrue Holiday. He's getting Toronto. We know, and we just talked about the Toronto, not a very high implied total, but he is at home and he is facing the Raps. This is a DVP that's very deceptive. Kyle Lowry boosts this season-long DVP to, like, top 10. Kojo is not that defender. He's bottom five in the last five games. He's giving up a ton of production to the point guard. The team defense just is not the same with Corey Joseph up there. He's a negative three defensive real plus minus. So Jrue Holiday is in an interesting spot. I think the concern that you have is, of course, how much usage does he get? He's kind of been up and down. His floor is a little bit less consistent than a guy, say, like, you know, even Goran Dragic, who's right there at 7'4", who I don't mind at all against Charlotte. You know, I don't mind Goran. I never mind Goran. Goran and Jeff Teague are basically in the same category to me. You know, it's like consistent. Take your 30-point floor and move on and be okay with the fact that you know you're going to get 4-plus X with a 40-point ceiling. So, you know, Holiday is in an interesting spot. You know, I think we kind of have to consider whether or not, you know, he's going to get, you know, he could get anywhere from 20 to 40, you know, and that's kind of what he does. You know, the fact that he had a really nice game against them last time. He had 40 points against them last time in Toronto. So I don't mind that. But, you know, something to consider. He's a pivot. He's a pivot for exactly that reason. The other one is Elfrid Payton. Elfrid Payton is like the ultimate tournament play point guard. He absolutely 6K. He's getting the Bulls. He can go for 18 or he could go for 50. So fade Payton if you hate his hair. And play him if you like his hair. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. The battle of the terrible haircuts is on display in the Chicago-Orlando game. Him and Campaign. I mean, Campaign's is a little bit more acceptable. It's a little bit like Jimmy Butler on steroids haircut. But Elf Payton just looks like he's wearing a visor. Hair visor, which is gross. I shouldn't be disrespectful. He's an NBA basketball player. He's probably a decent dude. But hey. There's got to be a better look for you, Elf. At shooting guard, we got Tim Hardaway Jr. at 5'9". And I just actually saw a notification that they're the Heat players, a couple like Tyler Johnson is probable. So my Dion Waiters call is going to be less interesting. But we'll talk about it anyway. Tim Hardaway at 5'9 is going to see the 29th ranked DVP in the league against Brooklyn. He's gotten 30 plus minutes in the last three contests. He's one of the top scoring threats in Atlanta. Brooklyn is allowing the highest shooter percentage of three pointers on the slate to the guard. Tim Hardaway has averaged a fantasy point per minute against this team this year. If he gets the minutes, we're going to see an easy 5X from THJ. I don't mind him at all. You know, 5'9. 30 points, fine. You take your 5X and you move on. Again, guys, we're building for cash games here. You're building for a floor on a large slate. You want to stay in the action and see if you can get a couple guys to just give you 2 or 3 points over 5X, 5-6 points. Somebody blows up, one guy on your roster blows up, and all of a sudden you're up on the rest of the field by 15 points. But if you get a guy who totally busts, then you're in a 15-point hole, and that's really hard to make up. So you want to maximize floor in these large slates. Dion Waiters at 6'7". He's in play. Only really in play, though, if we had no Tyler Johnson and he just got upgraded to probable tonight in Charlotte. He blew up in the Cleveland revenge game. And I said on Saturday, I was like, play Dion Waiters. You play shooting guards against Cleveland. And then I didn't play him. But, you know, the reality is Waiters is an opportunity hog. If no Tyler Johnson is in there, he's going to look to stay hot against Charlotte at home. You know, they're not going to stop him. They're bottom 10 in DVP to the shooting guard. They allow one of the highest three-point shooting rates on the league. Waiters is streaky, man. When he gets hot and he gets going and they want to feed him, he will shoot. He will shoot. If we get no Tyler Johnson or no James Johnson even maybe, I think we have to think about Waiters in this situation. It's not my favorite price, but it's okay. He has 40-point upside here in this situation. So 35 minutes, yeah, I'll take a 6.7K 35-minute Dion Waiters against the Charlotte front court, or excuse me, backcourt. Pivots. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope has an excellent matchup history with the Pacers. Of course, he has an excellent matchup history with the Bulls, and he absolutely shit the bed last time. He has 30 points, though, in last two games against the Pacers. You know, one of the league's worst against the shooting guard. Something to think about. Marcus Smart is also interesting. His price jumped, but he took 15 shots in that Clippers game last time. He had a rough game against the Suns, but then he bounced back. He's going to the highest total, the highest pace of the night. I think he won't be owned very highly because there's more obvious calls right there, and his price isn't perfect, and people are scared off about the Avery Bradley stuff. But, you know, here's the reality. He gets the run in the fourth. He doesn't get the start, but he gets run in the fourth. People only play him when Avery Bradley is out, but he plays down the stretch alongside Bradley because they want that defense. You know, he's one of their defensive core pieces, so, you know, they will move him and Bradley around on different pieces. They're not going to run Jaylen Brown out there in the fourth quarter to play defense. You know, they put it's Thomas, it's Bradley, it's Crowder, and Smart. And then whoever else, I guess Horford. God, Horford. If Horford was just bigger, the Celtics would be good. Or if Horford was 3 years younger, then the Celtics would be really good. We need to put Al Horford in a time machine for the Celtics fans. At small forward, there's two interesting options here, but I don't love the middle tier small forward. I much prefer the value tier. I mean, Paul George is priced up for me. I don't know. I mean, he's kind of, he could go for 30 in this matchup. Carmelo, so inconsistent. Wiggins against the Clippers. I love Andrew Wiggins. I love playing Andrew Wiggins, and I can't wait to get the green light to play him again, but I don't think I'm going to play him against the Clippers tonight. Gordon Hayward is one that I'm interested in. And then right below him, I'm also interested in Wilson Chandler in this matchup against the Wizards. So let's talk about Hayward and Chandler. Hayward is going to have a massive pace bump going down to Houston tonight, +3 in pace, +3 in their normal scoring. Not massive, excuse me, but a pace bump. It's a good tie. It's a good, this is always against Houston, it's a good spot to attack scorers, right? You got a lot of pace. There's a lot of pressure on, a lot of pressure on scorers in these types of games against Houston. His price is very appealing at 7-7. He's got a 40-point ceiling, no George Hill in the lineup. Immediately, your thought is well, that's going to increase his usage, right? That's going to increase his scoring, right? Interestingly enough, it doesn't actually help him that much. Strangely enough, it's going to increase his personal responsibility to score. I think he's going to feel more ownership on trying to keep them in the game. Maybe he'll take more attempts, but that doesn't necessarily equate to efficiency for Hayward. And I think that that's important to note. And he's also not great as a road dog, but you mean he has two things working in his advantage, and that's his price and his pace. He has a 40-point ceiling and he's priced below 8K. We like that. And he has a pace. He's one of the biggest pace and biggest totals in the night. So, you know, that is really appealing to me about Gordon Hayward. He's had two strange games against Houston this year. One, he went for 42, which is awesome. And the other one, he went for 22. Not so awesome. Let's say he lands in the middle at 32, right? I mean, that's fine. It's not exactly where we want him to be, but a couple more buckets and he could get himself up to 5X. I like him. I like him a lot. And I think if you play him, I think you stack him alongside Gobert because they have a really high correlation. And if this game stays close, they're going to play close to 36 minutes together on the same unit. So you kind of have a nice little game stack there. So the other one, though, is Wilson Chandler. He exploded last game with no Jokic against Sacramento. Sacramento can't guard anyone these days, by the way. If you want to get sneaky for GPPs, target some of these Spurs. Not Kawhi, because he's probably going to get some rest against Sacramento. Pop's not going to blow out Kawhi, you know, just to beat the Kings. but Chandler moves down to the four with no Kenneth Fareed. Fareed is out. If Jokic is out, then whoa, we have to go Chandler. He's got the biggest usage rate on the Nuggets with no Jokic and no Fareed on the floor. Team high, 26% usage, 1+ fantasy points per minute. I think you have to think about this because if we know we attack anywhere, if we attack the Wizards anywhere, it's at the four. That's the best place to attack them. You can't really attack them in the backcourt. You know, guards against the Wizards are not really a thing. Beal and Wall are very strong. But against the four, Wilson Chandler should be able to do work. I think he's definitely in play if we get the news that Jokic is out. I'm not going to force it if we get the news that Jokic is in. I'm going to be honest with you. So something to think about. Draymond at 8-2 is my favorite power forward. He is a lock absolute lock for me in this situation. I love Draymond here. He's back home. He's got the Celtics, who allow the most peripheral stats to forwards. This is why this matters, okay? This is why it's so important. Second highest total on the slate for points allowed to the forward and rebounds, second highest. And then the highest number of assists, 14 assists per game to the forward position. Highest total, highest pace of the night. Give me Draymond Green to go 5X. Give me Draymond Green to go 5X here at Golden State. I love Green in this matchup. He had 35 against them earlier in the year, and I think that I'm locking Draymond Green just because positional scarcity at power forward is real tonight. You don't really have a ton of value options like you did the other night where you're in the 5K and you're just like, pick a guy, any guy. He'll get you 25 points. Not really. Not really tonight. I think the logical pivot is always a low-owned Paul Millsap. Paul Millsap at 7'9". Dude is just so rock solid, consistent. You love Paul Millsap in this situation. You know, I think, by the way, up to Jokic is interesting if he plays. I just don't know what he's going to do. If he's going to play, if he's sick, if he has the flu, I don't know. But Millsap is obviously pretty rock solid. I mean, listen to these game logs since the, in the last five. You ready for this? 36, 38, 41, 38, 38 on the nose. You know, and he's priced at 7'9". Perfect 38 or 40 points against Brooklyn seems very, very feasible. He just needs the minutes. You're concerned about the minutes, right? Atlanta goes out and gets a lead, then you really worry about the minutes for Draymond. Or not Draymond. You worry about the minutes for Millsap. Anyway, that's it at power forward. The value section is rough. So we'll think about that. Something to think about in lineup construction. Gobert is my center, my mid-tier center. I love Gobert at 7'8 tonight. He's going to get some ownership, though. He's going to get some good looks tonight. He's in a pace-up game, bottom five DVP matchup to the center. I mean, they've really struggled of late against the center, the Rockets have. They can't rebound. They can't protect the paint. I think you can lock in. I think you can lock in 35 points from Gobert here. The question is does he get up to 40? That's not hard. He's done that in a number of games here. He did it against the Rockets actually earlier this year. He did 35 once, and then he did almost 40 once. And I think you stack him with Hayward. They have a really high correlation. It's a very interesting stack situation. You know. Gobert scares me. He always scares me because he can just as easily go for 50 or he could just as easily say 30 and be done. But the rebounding is interesting. A terrible rebounding team in Houston, one of the worst in the league right now, allowing huge numbers of rebound, extra possessions, you know, extra possessions because of the because of the high pace and the high total here. So, you know, we have to think about attacking the Rockets in the front court in this situation. The pivots, honestly, there's not a ton of pivots here, but I think Andre Drummond is very much in play. He has blown up against the Pacers in previous matchups, went for 45 once this year. He's always low owned because his price is always a little bit high. He's at 7'9 tonight. Pretty interesting tournament play for sure in Andre Drummond. I think he's an interesting tournament play every night. But against the poor rebounding team like the Pacers, a poor interior front court, Andre Drummond absolutely in play. I also think maybe you could consider guys like, you know, a DeAndre Jordan, who's going up against Cat, poor defensive center. You know, and even go down, I think very much in play is Cody Zeller. Very overlooked the fact that Cody Zeller is going to be getting 25 to 30 minutes against Hassan Whiteside at 5'8". He is absolutely an opportunity. There's an opportunity there. So, you know, and of course the whole world will lock in Bismack Biyombo because he's going to start. You know, and I don't know. Do you lock in that value against the Bulls? Maybe you do. Maybe you do. You know, I don't really know why you wouldn't. In cash games for sure. So we'll see what to do with center. Although I really like Gobert in this situation. All right, let's go on to the bargain basement. Okay, we're in the bargain basement here trying to figure out what value under 5.5 we're going to target tonight on this slate. There is some opportunity for sure, no question about it, to go below 5.5 and try and find a couple of value plays. So let's start at point guard. At point guard, I think you got a couple options. Corey Joseph at 5K, he's going to go against the 28th DVP in the New Orleans Pelicans. You know, I mean, Joseph isn't sexy. He doesn't really have a ceiling. But at 5K, you really don't feel bad about the fact that he's getting 25 to 30 minutes a night. He's going to be he's going to be useful in this situation, you know, and he just went 6x against Milwaukee in 37 minutes of play. So, you know, positive situation against New Orleans. Good price, you know. Could do worse than Corey Joseph. I got to be honest with you, he really could. And people aren't going to be on him because it's not sexy anymore, and he's kind of burned people. But he's at a good price. He's still in play. Something to consider. then you go down. You could go down to Ish Smith. Ish Smith at 4.6. You know, it's a dart throw, man. You don't know if he's going to play or not. And if he doesn't get 10 assists, then he's not really worth it. So something to think about. Even further down the line, we've got two really kind of min price options, and we're going to have to pay attention to this. So I just got push notifications, by the way. Dwayne Wade, doubtful. Jimmy Butler sits out of the shoot around due to illness. He's sick. I don't know if he's going to play. Really interesting there. Maybe, I mean, if he doesn't play, I think we're going to see huge minutes from a guy like Paul Zipser. Who is strangely productive. And you know what? I don't mind playing Paul Zipser. In fact, he makes me I'm a little bit more interested in a guy like Paul Zipser than a guy like Nikola Mirotic, because Zipser actually tries to go to the bucket. So, you know, Zip in you know, no Jimmy, no Wade situation at min price at small forward, sleepy play right there. But the other one that's really sleepy, if those guys don't play, especially if Rondo, Wade, and Butler don't play in this one, I think you got to think about Cameron Payne. Cameron Payne is going to be playing huge minutes off the bench at point guard. The Bulls are going to give him a shot. They gave him 21 minutes last game against Detroit. He played down the stretch. He can shoot the three, and he's going to play against against Alfred Payton, who's basically a perfect physical matchup for him. So, you know, you got to think about Cam Payne in this one. The other guy you got to think about is Dante Exum. Exum is going to play. He's going to get the start if George Hill is in or out. So if George Hill is out, you know, we got a point guard in Dante Exum who's min price, who's going to get 25 plus minutes against, one of the highest pace and highest total games of the night. You don't fade a value point guard. Spectre and I talk about this all the time. You don't fade a value point guard. They get too many touches and they have too many opportunities to produce value above their salary. The value point guards and value centers, you just can't really fade them, because the reality is they just get too many opportunities for peripherals because they have too many opportunities for touches. Between rebounds and assists on both ends of you don't really fade value point guards and value centers. There's just too much security in that. In cash games. At shooting guard, I think that we can't ignore Sean Kilpatrick at 3.8. He's been getting 30 plus minutes and he's put up 30 points in the last two games. You know, the Hawks matchup doesn't really scare me. I mean, at the shooting guard, we can attack them at the shooting guard. I don't think they're gonna really aim to shut down Sean Kilpatrick with Thabo Sefolosha, but I'm not sure. I'm not really sure how that'll shake out. I try to avoid playing the Nets at all costs unless it's a really good matchup, which it's never a really good matchup for the Nets because they're bad. The other option is, Lou Williams is interesting at 4.9. I mean, price is all the way down. You know, the minutes are kind of down for him, but God, if Lou Williams gets hot at 4.9, that's a GPP only for Lou Williams, for sure. All those guys are interesting. All those guys are in play. I think, the other one that you can consider, especially if we get no Tyler Johnson, for example, is Josh Richardson on the Heat. he's kind of been the one who's stealing minutes from Deion. And he plays better defense than Deion Waiters. And at 4-3, he's gone for 5X a couple different times in this situation, a couple different times in the last couple games. But of course, these low price guys, man, you don't force them in there. Don't force them in there if you don't have to, okay? Again, we're maximizing floor in these large slates, and we're just trying to get ourselves just above 5X for each one of these players so that we can climb kind of late at night and maybe get ourselves a late hammer or a low-owned player. At small forward, there's a couple options here. The value at small forward is here, man. It's starting with Chris Middleton at 5'7", getting the Knicks. Really nice matchup for Chris Middleton, who still hasn't been priced at 6K. I see 30 points for Chris Middleton here. No problem against the Knicks. Poor defensive team. Middleton's been playing excellent. He's got the peripherals, the assists, the rebounds, everything. So let's get some Chris Middleton in our life. Also, we still have Terrence Ross. I mean, people are going to be off Terrence Ross because he just burned him last game. But Terrence Ross is still in play, man. He's getting 30-plus minutes against the Magic, you know, especially if Jimmy is out. Fire up some Terrence Ross against those second-unit Bulls, no question. And Bojan Bogdanović, price didn't move. He's going up against Denver. Now, will he get the same minutes? I'm not sure, but he's pretty much, he's an excellent, excellent price. And if he gets, you know, 25 minutes and he can score, we know he can score. We know he can shoot the three. Bojan is absolutely in play. But I think one of my most interesting plays here at small forward, kind of GPP, low ownership, high risk, high reward, is Jaylen Brown. I don't think people will be on Jaylen Brown just because it's kind of less obvious now. You know, if you don't have Avery Bradley in the lineup, Jaylen Brown, you know, doesn't seem as sexy. You know, it's kind of like, well, how much upside does he have? Well, I mean, the truth of the matter is he's been getting 20-plus minutes in all of the last couple games, okay? He has had over 20 fantasy points in since the All-Star break. Okay, so let's see. Since the All-Star break, 7 games, right? He's only had 2 contests where he went below 5X. That's pretty good. Pretty good. Highest paced, highest total game on the night. Late hammer, low owned. You get 5X out of a 4-1 Jaylen Brown. Oh, I don't know. Think about it, guys. Think about it. He's interesting. If you want to force in some studs, Jaylen Brown is in an interesting spot, and I don't think he will be owned more than 15%. In cash games, at least. A power forward, there's not much here, but I'd start with Aaron Gordon at 5'7", and then go down maybe to Marvin Williams. Both getting starters minutes. Both feel safe enough to get you 5X. Not a huge ceiling for either one of them, of course, but absolutely in play. I'm not going to try to solve the Bobby Portis, Nikola Mirotic dilemma. I just don't know what the hell's happening. And with the arrival of Zipser, they may just give those minutes to Zipser, because honestly, those two guys are just a fucking mess. At center, we got to talk Jan Mahimi here, okay? I don't think we should chase him. All right, it's one of my rules. You don't chase points. Outlier performance, 7 steals? I mean, come on. Who gets 7 steals? It's 14 points. Let's say you take away those 7 steals, right? And he's down 26 normal points, more or less. 26 points in 20 minutes. Okay, 26 points in 26 minutes. It's a fantasy point per minute. That's really great. It's really great. Don't get me wrong. But he got a ton of minutes last night because of Gortat foul trouble. He's on a road back-to-back going to altitude. He should probably go back to his normal 20, 21, 22 minutes here. I don't think we're going to chase these 7 steals and see. I mean, 20 points, maybe. Maybe. And I think you could do worse if you want to lock in him. Mahimi, go for it. Go for it. Do it again while he's still min price. I don't think it's a problem, but I just think it's kind of buyer beware. Know that you're not going to get 42 points out of him again. You're not going to get 10X out of this guy. It's just not going to happen. You know, unless somehow Gortat goes down and we're like, Jan Mahimi will start and he will get 30 minutes. Then we can lock him in. It's just he's not in a starting role here just yet. You know, I think he got the minutes bump, you know, and basically he's going halvesies with Gortat. And 7 steals is a lot. And a big man in Denver who's not played in altitude, he's not adjusted, and he got 26 minutes for the first time in a season. I don't know. Conditioning is a concern. So something to think about. The one other center, or two other centers, obviously, we have, we obviously are going to have Bismack Biyombo in play. Of course, the world is going to be on Bismack Biyombo, and you know what? You can play centers against the Bulls. It's really not that big of a deal, and Biyombo is a great rim protector. Yada, yada, yada. Okay, great. Biyombo. it frustrates me, man, because it's kind of a damned if you do, damned if you don't type situation. Everybody's going to be on Biombo tonight, and, you know, you kind of have to say, okay, fine, we'll take Biombo, whatever, and you move on, you know, and that's fine. That's fine. I don't mind it at all. But I think one more interesting play, an even more interesting play that's more low-owned is my boy Dwayne Dedman. Now, if I know Greg Popovich, which none of us do, absolutely none of us know what the hell Greg Popovich is thinking at any given time. It's mostly angry thoughts and just nostalgia about Tim Duncan. Let's be honest. That's mostly what it is. Tim Duncan nostalgia, you know, it's like a slideshow, Tim Duncan PowerPoint running through his mind at all times while he scratches his beard. But I think he's going to be like, this King game, who gives a damn? We got the Kings at home. The Kings are terrible. I know I can beat the Kings in my sleep. I'm not going to play Kawhi more than 30 minutes. I'm not going to play LaMarcus more than 30 minutes. I don't think he likes Pau Gasol. I think Dwayne Dedman could be in line. If we get any news that any Spurs players are going to rest, I think Dwayne Dedman is very much in play. Very much in play. And, you know, and I don't think it's a bad play. And it's really not, because Dwayne Dedman, if he gets over 20 minutes, he basically goes for a fantasy point per minute. He's down to 3.9. You know, he's 3.9. You know, I think the other guy, if you get LaMarcus Aldridge rest, the other guy that you fire up is David Lee. If LaMarcus Aldridge is going to rest, then David Lee should see over 25 minutes. And that's when you want David Lee. He's going to have a terrible – Sacramento front court's terrible. And David Lee is a very serviceable NBA basketball player. He's sneaky. So those are the two Spurs that I'm kind of interested in if any of those guys rest. I don't know. Spurs are always hard to solve, and you don't really try to target Spurs, just like you don't try to target Nets. But anyway. All right, let's go on to lineup lock here. This is where we are going to build out a core lineup for you guys, try and figure out how we want to spend our money on this slate and which players we are going to target tonight. So if we start with a core right here, I think that my core is pretty simple. You know, it's Dennis Schroeder. I'm not going to fade Dennis Schroeder against the Nets. There's just no reason to do it. It's Boyan at 4K. It's Draymond at power forward at 8-2. Now, I know that's only a three-person core. I realize that. I realize that it's a three-person core. The difficulty for me right now is deciding between Steph and deciding between Giannis, who have very, very, very similar situations. Okay? Now, if we open up some value at point guard tonight, I don't think you can start Steph. I think you have to think about Giannis, because then there's value at point guard and you can spend up in other spots. Okay. But let's go ahead and let's look at this lineup. Let's give this a build. If we are sure that we're going to get, if we're sure that we're going to get some point guard value, then I say we lock in Giannis. Okay, so let's add Giannis to our core here at 10-8. I don't mind him. Shooting guard has been a problem in my lineups lately. I know Giannis has a nice kind of 45-point outing here. It's a good situation for Giannis tonight. All right. If I want Giannis, then I want to stack him I am going to play Sean Kilpatrick, by the way. I think I'm going to play Sean Kilpatrick. I am going to stack him with Chris Middleton. Okay. Stack him with Chris Middleton. So now we're at Dennis Schroeder, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Boyan, Chris Middleton, Draymond. Now, I think that the other person that you can go to pretty easily here is You can easily go to Marvin Williams at 5-1. I think he's in play. I think you have to kind of lock in some security at power forward too if you're not going to pay up there. So let's go ahead to Marvin Williams, and then let's go ahead to Rudy Gobert. Now, obviously, we have value opportunities at center, and I'm not completely sure that I'm going to stay on Rudy Gobert over, you know, a Bismack Biyombo or a Dwayne Dedman. If I had my druthers, I think I would probably play Dedman because he's cheaper. And I think he has the same range of outcomes as Biyombo, but I need some news, to be honest with you, that people are sitting in San Antonio. And I think, you know, Biyombo, just kind of hard fade, really, at 4-6, you know, with 30-plus minutes in the last two games. I think you kind of have to play him. But let's say we stick with Gobert, right? Fine. Gobert it is, okay? So we're going to have to fill our shooting guard, and we're going to have to fill our point guard position, and we're going to end up with this. It's Dennis Schroeder, Jrue Holiday, interesting low ownership guy, possibly, Giannis, Sean Kilpatrick, Boyan, Chris Middleton, Draymond, Marvin Williams, and Rudy Gobert. Now, this is a floor lineup. It has a really nice, I really like how I basically have one stud and one punt. That really appeals to me. I mean, I don't think Boyan necessarily is a punt at this point, given matchup, given minutes, etc. I think, you know, we could see some really good production from Bogdanovich here. So, you know, he's not as much of a punt, as well as Kilpatrick, who, if he gets the minutes, he's a little bit less of a punt. You know, you're taking that security there. You know, I think it's an interesting line. Of course, now if we get value at point guard and at center, we're not going to fade that. We're not going to fade that value, and maybe we'll figure out how to spend up a little bit more in the core here at small forward, or maybe we'll figure out how to get, you know, some of these other guys in the lineup. But I don't know. That's where we'll start. We got Dennis Schroeder. He's at Brooklyn. Pace bump, great DVP situation. Jrue Holiday, he's at home. We're trying to target maybe some lower ownership, some productivity against Kojo. Giannis, he's at home. He's got a great situation against the Knicks. Kilpatrick, he is facing Atlanta. He's getting 30-plus minutes in this one. Boyan getting Denver, high pace, high total in this situation. Chris Middleton at home, high pace, high total against New York. Draymond, highest pace, highest total of the night in Golden State, Boston. They're allowing tons of peripherals to the power forward. Marvin Williams, he's just the cash game play for 5X. I just want to get 25 points out of Marvin Williams and just kind of be okay with that. And then Rudy Gobert, not a value center right now, but this is a possible lineup that you can start with. I think a lot of these guys are in play for sure. Now, there's a lot of different ways you could go here, right? Steph over Giannis is very much in play. I think that that's a good call. Hayward over Gobert is very much in play. You know, and you could go down off of Jrue and get off of Kilpatrick and get maybe some Tim Hardaway Jr., you know, open up some value at point guard. I mean, there's a lot of ways you can do this, guys. It's a huge slate. I think what you want to try to do, though, is you really want to try to make sure you have shares of the highest total, highest pace games, okay, which are those four games, the Boston Golden State game, Washington Denver, the Utah Houston game, and then, oh, Brooklyn Atlanta and New York Milwaukee. That's where you want to target those games, right? If you notice, I really only have two plays that are outside of that, and that's Jrue Holiday and Marvin Williams. So, something to think about. Something to think about. You know, you're targeting these high-pace, high-total games on these larger slates. All right, guys. Hey, hit me up with questions. Of course, the only thing that I ask you guys to do, please rate, review, share your results. I want to hear how you're doing. Good luck in your contests, and I will see you tomorrow.